There is something powerful about this text. I'm always drawn back to this text of Jesus healing on the Sabbath. One of the commentators on this particular gospel asked a question that has stuck with me all week. He asks, why does Jesus heal her on the Sabbath? Well, think about it. He could have waited just a few more hours till sunset and healed her without any of the controversy that follows. I mean, it's not like she was laying on the ground dying of a heart attack. She'd been bent over crippled for 18 years. What difference really would it have made for him to just wait a little longer? The fact that he doesn't, and the fact that this is the third of four healings on the Sabbath reported by Luke, tells us that there's something important going on that Jesus would heal on this day. This text follows last week's text, which was all about pulling things apart, father against son, and mother against daughter, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. There's a kind of upsetting quality to this section of Luke to which we must pay attention. So that when this woman comes as Jesus has finished preaching in the synagogue and he sees her on the Sabbath day and he puts his hands on her and he heals her and she stands straight up and she praises God. And the church leaders say, why did you have to do this on the Sabbath? We should pay attention. One writer describes her malady in a pretty interesting way. He points back to the years, the 18 years. And if you've been reading the scripture through as we go along, you would have keyed into that 18 years and the 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell. Did they deserve their sin? Did they deserve to die? And the word that describes her malady is not one that we would normally expect to see. It's not a medical term. It really means to be bound. She was bound up, almost crippled over. And then in the healing of it, it's not a normal healing word either. It means literally to untie, to loose. Contains this awful verb luo that I spent probably 6 years learning to conjugate that appears, what, 8 times in the whole scripture? So there's something going on here about being bound and about being loosed. One writer contends that this is not just a story about a woman who has a physical infirmity, but it describes for us ourselves, those who are truly bound in sin and pain and distrust. And when we see it that way, we begin to understand why Jesus has to do this on the Sabbath. When else would you do it? Think about it. This woman comes to find healing, and the leaders of the church question, why on this day? Why do this work on this day? Well, what other day would you do it? On what other day and in what other place? Where would you go if you were bound up, captured, hurting, except here? Where else would you go for freedom than at the wellspring of freedom, Jesus Christ? I experienced that binding this morning as I was coming to church. I had an uncontrollable hankering for for a 7-Eleven donut simply would not go away. So I pulled up in my little car, and as usual, although I was not late, I was feeling late. And I thought, I've got just enough time. And as I pulled up, there was a guy in a dirty t-shirt in a wheelchair. And I thought, this is not going to go well. All I wanted to do was to go in and get the donut and get back in my car and come to church and go to work. And I actually felt angry for a minute because I thought, he's going to ask me for money. They always ask me for money. I just have that kind of face. And I got out of the car and he said, Sir, I need your help. And I thought, oh, I bet you do. My wheelchair is broken, he said. And he held up the wheel as evidence. And I thought, oh, man. And then he starts into the story. And all I could think of was, if you weren't so greedy, you would have just gone to church and skipped the donut. So at the end of the long story, he finally says, I've tried to call the handy van, and I have to pay for the handy van, and all I have is $8, and he's going on and on and on. And finally, he says, I need $20 to get the handy van to go back to my house so I can fix my wheelchair. And I pulled out my wallet, and I gave him the $20, and I walked away. Now, I never do that. I lived in San Francisco for so many years that eventually you do get to the point where you offer prayers, and I used to carry around a little thing that had all of the social agencies' numbers listed on it to whom I gave money. But this morning, I realized he wasn't the bound one, I was. It was my impatience, my anger, my junk that was getting in the way of seeing God's human being. I have no doubt that this guy was scamming me. It's part of life. And in fact, if I'm ever homeless, I'm going to use that one. Or he may have been in genuine need, I don't know. But the point is that it wasn't he that needed to be healed this morning, it was me. It was me in my bent over, crippled, knotted up state that needed to be healed on the Sabbath. And that's why we come here and do this together. Because we need to hear over and over again the life-giving words of Jesus, "You are free." Without those words, we just sort of choose to get lower and lower because the world is a heavy place. There's so many demands, so much hurt. But here, and in all of God's world, we can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which frees us up to stand straight and look at the world in the eye and share again and again that grace. Isaiah's wonderful image of the yoke being lightened as we give ourselves to the world is a powerful one. It's one that reminds us that for all of our knottedness, there remains the word of grace in Christ. So, why does Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Because it is on the Lord's Day, every day, that God gives us God's grace for renewal and healing. It is in the Sabbath that we find ourselves rested up, away from the cares of our day, so that in our healing we might be healers. It is because on days like today, we will pour water over babies, drink wine, eat bread, and be reminded of the fullness and richness of God's grace. That end of the day for Jesus that day must have been interesting. In the midst of pulling apart father and mother, child, parent, proclaiming healing on the Sabbath, giving the Pharisees a hard time. At the end of the day, as the Spirit poured down on God's people, I can envision in my head that breath of the Spirit, and how with the yoke lifted up, God's people stand up straight and praise. So go out from this place into the Sabbath of the whole world, upright, upright, praising God. Amen.